Well, this morning we continue looking at the parables of Jesus found in Mark chapter 4, where we began last week. And these are kingdom parables, parables about the kingdom of God. Jesus' ministry, of course, is centered on proclaiming the kingdom, something that we saw at the very beginning of his public ministry back in chapter 1 of Mark's gospel. Chapter 1, verse 15, Jesus declares, and you have heard it time and time again, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. Repent and believe the good news of the kingdom. For the king has come, and with him the kingdom. But there's a problem. And the problem is this. We want the kingdom to be our kingdom, to be the way that we want it, to live up to our expectations, our desires, our wants. We want it our way, right now, on demand. And so, like the first century hearers, we often have misguided, false expectations about the kingdom. And Jesus intends for our good to shatter all false expectations so that we can be truly set free by truth and grace. What Jesus does here is like two middle school boys that I know of. Now, let me be clear. They are not middle school boys in this church. And also, let me be clear, do not try this at home. So, two middle school boys that I know of who would pack up their backpacks with glass bottles from home. They'd get on their bikes, they would ride to a nearby landfill, and then one by one, they would toss the bottles up into the air and hit them with a baseball bat. An explosion of glass everywhere. Okay. That is what Jesus does here with these parables. He takes our misguided, our false expectations, he tosses them up into the air, and then he hits them with his verbal bat so that he can shatter them all over the place. And that brings us to our passage. Our passage this morning, Mark chapter 4, verses 21 to 34. And let's pray. Pray that we would hear God's word. Well, Almighty God, we do thank you for revealing yourself to us through your word in the person of Jesus. And oh, how we ask, please awaken our hearts right now to your life-giving word that we might truly hear and understand and believe and be changed by your amazing grace. Amen. So again, this is Mark chapter 4, and I'll be beginning with verse 21. Hear the word of God. And Jesus said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, At once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. This is God's word given to us for our good and his glory. And so to it we turn. And what we have here are actually four parables. Four parables, or rather two double parables. That is, two pairs of parables. The lamp and the measure, the growing seed, and the mustard seed. And so each pair goes together. It's really like two sides of the same coin, holding each together, each side helping to understand the other. And so we're going to take a look at each of those two coins. And so coin number one, the first double parable, on one side the lamp, and on the other side the measure. Now, remember what Jesus has just told us, which we heard last week, the parable of the sower and soils, saying, verse 13, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the other parables?" And so what Jesus is doing is he is highlighting the importance of understanding the soil types of our hearts, while also explaining, verse 14, that the seed being sown is what? It is the Word, God's Word. He then explains the four types of soil. And again, he is speaking of the heart. Okay, so there's the hard soil. If you remember, the hard soil, hearts that are indifferent to God's Word. Then there's the shallow soil, hearts that are intrigued by Jesus, but soon turn away when life gets difficult. Then there's the crowded soil, hearts that are divided, sometimes following Jesus, but also clinging to the world. And what does Jesus say about this soil? He says this, verse 19, "The cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word." Now, sadly, this characterizes many churchgoers today. This is what happens when we don't take temptation and sin seriously enough. Well, lastly, there's the good soil. The good soil, hearts that are receptive and responsive to God's word. Ones that continually bear the fruit of repentance and faith and a growing obedience even in the midst of life's struggles and difficulties. Okay, hearts that know their present continual need of Jesus, clinging to him, and being changed by his grace. Okay, so it is in that context that Jesus tells this first double parable. And he does so for this reason. He does so to help us evaluate the soil of our hearts. It's too easy to be complacent, but Jesus speaks these words to us that we would look inside and evaluate what's within. Okay, one commentator says this: "These parables of Jesus are like missiles launched against the kingdom of darkness into people's hearts. They are timed to explode and destroy the self-confidence of men and women. They are calculated to bring people to a place of evaluation and to a point of decision. So picking up again with verse 21. And Jesus said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And so the lamp is Jesus and his message, the king and his kingdom. And of course, what do lamps do? I mean, so it is a common everyday illustration. What do lamps do? They bring light where there is darkness. They help us to see what we otherwise couldn't see because of the dark. Okay, and so the preaching of Jesus brings the hidden things to light. It exposes what we cannot see, which includes revealing what is in our hearts. Jesus then says, verses 24 and 25, not only if you have ears to hear, then hear, but he says, then pay attention. Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Okay, so the language here, the language of measuring. Now, this would be that of weighing food and other goods in the market. And the question that it puts before us is this: how are you weighing what you hear? In other words, if you listen well, this is what Jesus is getting at. If you listen well and embrace the truth, then you will receive more of it. But if you listen poorly and reject or just show no interest in the truth, then you will lose what little you have. I mean, think back to last week, right? I mean, the soils. One extreme, the hard soil. What little seed there is, what happens? It gets snatched up. But then the other extreme, you've got the good, receptive, responsive soil. And what happens there? The seed grows in abundance. So how's the soil of your heart? Like seriously, how is the soil of your heart? And to be honest with you, I desperately need to hear this word. Because I desperately need to evaluate the soil of my own heart every single day. Why? Because it is so often a mixture of soils. I mean, too often, I am caught up in the very things that Jesus spoke of last week. The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things besides Jesus. And so I desperately need to hear this word from him. Now, when you hear this word, when you hear Jesus say this, do you hear the compassion with which he is saying it? I mean, maybe you are here this morning and you have been going to church for many, many years. Maybe you're sitting there and you're just making your way back after a long absence. Maybe you're here this morning and this whole Jesus, faith in Jesus thing, this is entirely new. You just stumbled upon the church or someone invited you here. But whatever you are here for, wherever you are, I hope that you can hear the compassion of these words. Because Jesus speaks these words to you so that you will be able to evaluate your heart, to know where you stand in relation to his kingdom, to recognize if you are in danger, and if you are, to call out to him for rescue. Well, that brings us to coin number two, the second double parable. On one side, the growing seed, and on the other, the mustard seed. Now, remember from the parable of the sower and soils that the seed is what? Verse 14, God's word. The seed is God's word. And like with any healthy garden, the soil of our hearts needs lots of seed. I mean, think about trying to go grow grass around here, right? I mean, you know, you're working on your lawn, and what is the thing that you need to do every fall? Overseeding. Not just seeding, but overseeding. That is what is needed. And so we desperately need lots of exposure to God's word, which is why daily exposure is critical for growth as a Christian. Why time in the word every day is so important. Why preaching of the word is central to our gathered worship. Now, maybe you're saying, yeah, but I mean, come on. I have read my Bible. I have listened to preaching. And I'm just not really seeing it make a difference. I'm not really seeing any change, any growth in myself or in the church or anywhere around me. What gives? Ah. Well, that is why Jesus tells this second double parable. Because what you see is not necessarily what you get. Or as one of my favorite seminary professors like to say, things are not only as they seem. So picking up again with verse 26. And Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." The kingdom of God is like the kingdom of God. Now, it is important to remember that whenever we speak of the kingdom of God, it has both a personal and a global sense to it, okay? It's King Jesus' reign and rule in the hearts and lives of his people, and also his reign and rule on earth over all things. It is a kingdom that has come and is coming in fullness. Now, you may have noticed a shift here, okay? In the second pair of parables, the focus has now shifted from the soil to the seed. And what Jesus is highlighting here is the growth of that seed. Okay, so whether or not the farmer is sleeping or if he's awake, whether or not he understands crop growth, it doesn't matter what happens. Verse 27, the seed sprouts and grows. All he's got to do is harvest it. One thing that every farmer knows for certain is this. Every farmer knows that there is unseen power in the seed. Even when it appears that nothing is happening, even when the seed is still hidden just below the surface, it always possesses the power to germinate and eventually bear fruit. So I remember in first grade we each got our own plant, or got to plant our own plant, had these little seed pots. Anybody else get to do that, kindergarten, first grade? I mean, that was a lot of fun. And so Mrs. Bennett's first grade class, we get our little seed pots. And I am like nothing of a gardener, green thumb kind of guy. But this was my moment. And so we got our little seed pots, and we got our seed, and we got to just push it in just beneath the soil there. And then everybody put theirs we put it all on the same table right next to a window. And of course, every day when we came in, we got to go check on how things were going. Now, she did tell us, the first few days, you're probably not going to see anything. But we're all like expected, hyped up, you know, first graders. And so we come running in the first few days like, oh, there's nothing there. Oh, there's nothing there. And then we come in one day and there's a few people like, oh, look, there's something coming up. And then like the next day, everybody's like, look, there's something coming up. And over the next several days, we watched as these little plants began to bloom. That is until Bill Garland, who was angry that his plant was not growing at the same rate as everybody else's, just threw over the table. Everything went flying. I don't remember the discipline Bill got that day, but it was pretty severe. I do remember that. Bill was somewhere out of the room. And the rest of us, what did we do? Well, we thought it was done. We went and picked up our seed pots, put them back on the table, back by the window. And the cool thing was that over the next several days, we got to watch the miracle of growth continue, even despite what Bill had done. Okay, friends, the kingdom of God is like that. Even in the face of adversity, because of its innate power, it grows. It grows slowly, but it grows steadily. Well, Jesus then expands the imagery, moving from a growing seed in general to a specific seed, the mustard seed, verses 30 to 32. With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the other garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. All right, now I realize that some of you are aware that the mustard seed is not actually the smallest seed. And those of you that were not aware of it, you now are. So then what am I supposed to do with this? Jesus just said it is the smallest seed. What am I supposed to think of the Bible? Okay, a few helpful notes from biblical scholar F.F. Bruce. First, The purpose of the parable is not to teach botany, but to make a natural comparison to the kingdom of God. Second, the context. Okay, again, Jesus says, pay attention. The context is the smallest seed that is planted in the ground. Which seeds did Palestinian Jews plant in that day? Well, the mustard seed was smaller than any other commonly planted. And it's very likely that when Jesus was telling this parable, he was simply standing near a garden and just motioned over there, like the mustard seed. Take a look. Okay, third, the focus. The focus of Jesus' parable is to make a contrast between the smallness of the seed planted and the largeness of the resulting shrub. Here is a seed as tiny as a grain of sand. When planted in a garden, it grows into a shrub so large. I mean, we are talking 7 feet, 10 feet, 12 feet. I mean, we're talking big compared to that little grain of sand. So large that it can support the weight of many of the same birds that could have eaten it earlier. It can support all of these birds who are looking for shelter, a place to build a home. The kingdom of God is like that. It may seem like a small start. Its growth may be hidden. In fact, as you look around, it may seem that nothing is really happening. But the kingdom of God is an unstoppable force. A great power that is at work within every Christian and throughout the world. And one day it will become so large that the whole earth and every Christian in it will be restored and perfected. And it's all because of the unstoppable power of the seed. What may seem mustard seed small. When you look at your own life, when you look at the broken world around you, it may seem like nothing is really happening. When all you see is your broken body, your broken dreams, your broken bank account, your broken relationships, the broken world. But be assured that God is at work. I mean, just you being here this morning to hear His word is evidence of that. God is at work in your life, and He is at work in the world around you. And it's all through the unstoppable power of the seed. Again, the seed is God's word. And Jesus is the living word. The Word made flesh. The Apostle John begins his gospel with this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning. Did you know that the first name of Jesus found in the Bible is found in the beginning? It's found in Genesis. Genesis chapter 3, it is the phrase, seed of the woman. Genesis 3:15. Okay, this phrase is known as the proto-euangelion. A proto meaning first, euangelion meaning good news or gospel. Do you hear that? The first gospel, the promise of salvation, that the seed of the woman would one day crush the head of the serpent. And this Jesus did on the cross. Okay, think about it. The seed died and was buried, and it didn't seem as if anything was actually happening. But then on the third day, He rose from the grave, conquering Satan, sin, and death forever. He then ascended into heaven, where He is seated right now, ruling over all things, and He is coming back in power, in glory, in bringing the fullness of the kingdom, the renewal of all things within this world and in all of those who trust in Him. Even now, if you are someone who has put your trust in Jesus, even right this very moment, as the Apostle Paul says in Romans 8, and hear this, the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. You may not perceive it. It may seem so very small, but it is an unstoppable power. For God is at work. So, what measure are you going to use to weigh this good news? When my kids were small, and it was time for breakfast, they'd go grab these little kid-sized bowls for their cereal. But then they would go grab something else. They would go reach into the drawer, and they would each pull out the biggest serving spoon that they could find. Okay, we're talking like bigger than your mouth big. And why? It's because they wanted to dig in and get as much as they possibly could. That's the measure they wanted to use. So what measure are you going to use to dig into God's Word? Are you going to dig into the good news of Jesus with a teaspoon or with a shovel? Because remember, Jesus says to you and to me, Pay attention. Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And so, brothers and sisters, grab a shovel and dig in. Dig into the Bible. Dig in through prayer. And dig in with one another. Let's pray. Well, Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for speaking these words to us this day. These words of invitation and compassion. So that we would be awakened to examine our own hearts. To turn afresh to you and to grow in grace. We ask that you would continue your redemptive work in our lives and help us to trust you along the way, even and especially when we can't perceive what you are doing. But help us to know too that one day all things will be restored and perfected. Amen.